Number one today, it's Thursday, August 28, 2025, and this is the week in charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I continue to do a poor job to get the word out. I always, as I go live, I'm always forgetting, I forgot to set up YouTube this week. So one day I'll get organized, and that one day is not today. All right, what are we talking about? Well, obviously, current market conditions have a lot to say about that. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock and crypto picks. I'm going to continue to focus on the methodology in action. There's just so much to learn right now, and that's going to make a lot of sense in just 1 minute. Dead money, riding trends, selling May, and much, 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 much more. And of course, your questions. If you have any questions, feel free to type them in. If there's any stock picks or crypto picks you'd like to talk about, feel free to type those in now. That was a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading, or as often summing up, all predictions about the future. And a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's all my contact information. Obviously, shoot a screenshot of it if you're interested in getting in touch with me. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. Let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. Now, as I've said quite a bit over this past several weeks, the missing piece for me very early in my trading career was having someone actually show me trades before, show me trades during, show me trades after, not some carefully well-chosen cherry-picked trade that worked out swimmingly, but pretty much everything in between. And that's the hard part. It's like, does anyone ever really make money at this? And if I could show you my methodology in action, which forces me to, from a selfish standpoint, become a better trader, then I think that's very important. And keep in mind that everything I do is with the person 20-something years ago, I guess 25 years ago now, maybe 30, in mind, things that I wish I knew when I was struggling. And you still struggle with trading even after you've been at it a long, long time. And that's one of the kind of perverse things about it. But your early struggles are really tough because you wonder, like, does anyone make any money doing this? And if you are newer or new to trading, forget about all the gurus who brag about how great they are. Believe me, if I was as great as these people brag they are, then you'd never see my fat ass again. But I'm here every day, you know, down in the pits, so to speak, going through it. And it's vitally important to be realistic when you're looking at this. And then I really think it's important to see it in action. So that's why we're going to focus once again on this most of this week. So here's a mystery chart reveal. It was ETHE. This was just a honorable mention, but you can see the Landry light, meaning lows are greater than moving average, has been phenomenal on this for a long time, or you've had lots, I don't know if it's phenomenal, but you've had lots and lots and lots of Landry light, 39 days. Base of this count here. And again, this just counts, as I say ad nauseum, the number of bars where the low is greater than the moving average or the high is less than moving average for downtrend. You see one little red bar here. But anyway, nice Landry light, great little trend indicator. A lot of trend stuff all looks alike. I think my stuff is good and pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about it, but very similar other trend things will look very similar. All trend stuff looks alike. All mean reversion stuff looks alike, or whatever the methodology you're doing. It'll all have very similar respective nuances, okay? There's someone in the group that's doing a trail stop that's kind of similar to some of the stuff I do, and it's trend following. It's basically trend following, and it's gonna look a lot like what I do. His stuff looks like mine. My stuff looks like his. And I've been enjoying watching him too, by the way. Anyway, so there was the original setup. By the way, if you want to see the recent ones, which are updated every month or so, you can go to davelandry.com/archives. If you want to go back a few years and get a feel for how things were, good, bad, and different, warts and all, you can go to davelandry.com/archives. The newer ones are on youtube.com/DaveLandry. I put them on YouTube, and I publish them every day to YouTube, but I publish them as private to my international clients so they can get the translation. So the language of the markets is fairly universal. obviously it's a numbers game mostly. So you'll see the setup, the entry, the stop, and the trailing stop. Should it have hit? Should we be trailing stops higher and then the initial profit target? But some clients have asked me if I could put it on YouTube just so they can get the translation, and they've thanked me for that. So I was a little slow to get that done, but it is up on YouTube, and you can get those fairly quickly. I try to get those published to the public as quickly as possible without hurting my existing clients. As far as if the setup hasn't triggered yet, I don't usually publish the service until it does. But anyway, and you know, by the way, I've had one or two clients join the service because they've actually made money off of my delayed service, which is cool to me. And if you want to see them live, DaveLander.com/trading service. If you do go to YouTube, it's under the playlist, Dave Landry's Core Trading Service. Anyway, this was an honorable mention. There were no stocks on this particular day that I wanted to go after, but I thought this one was worth a shot. And it's the Ethereum Trust. And obviously, you could use cash if you wanted to. Entry's there, stop is there, and initial profit target is up here. And it took off. And so far, it hasn't done a whole lot, but it's just hovering around that, above that entry. And so far, it looks pretty good longer term. Okay, here's a mystery chart update. This is TFPM. This was recommended in late April/early May. You can see pretty solid uptrend here. And also, one of the most important things, and this is something I was thinking about while going live, in addition to show me what you're doing, give me some insight into how you approach markets and how you think about markets. And as you look through all of these setups, you'll notice that they trade cleanly. Even for a gold stock like this, a precious metal stock like this, you could see it tends to work its way higher, consolidate around the 30 EMA, take off again, consolidate, rinse, and repeat. And that's the idea, is to find something that trades cleanly, and you hate to use the word hope, but hopefully that type of trend continues. So you can see mostly green, well, all green actually, okay? And then a couple of no Landry light whatsoever when you kiss the moving average. And that's actually a setup in and of itself. A Landry light pullback is where you're looking for about 20 bars or so of Landry light. 10 to 20 depends on the, you have to look at the chart too. So in this case, you had about, I guess you had about 15 or so, but you're in a longer term trend. It's trading cleanly. It's also, for the most part, accelerating. Notice that it was in a kind of a gradual trend, comes back down, and then bam, off to the races. So there's all the parameters. That's based on a hypothetical 100K account. Obviously, you would adjust up or down depending on your account size. I do take these trades in multiple accounts, but I do have a model account, and I often show the actual trades here. So if I recommend something, I actually took it, unless I use a little bit of discretion on the entry, and I'll flesh that out as the time comes. But anyway, so entry is right here, protective stop is down here, initial profit target is up here. So let's see what happens. It kind of takes off a little bit, but then comes right back in. So you should get out, right, Dave? No, follow the plan, okay? And at that point, you're thinking, well, it's dead money, I'm losing money, I've been in this thing a couple of weeks. Maybe it's not so hot. But no, you didn't get stopped out, so just stick with it and let the chips fall where they may. And then it did rally up to hit the initial profit target. So $1,000 is banked, and that's per 100K. And the model, again, is based on 100K. Hypothetical, but I do actually take the trades. And the stop comes up to break even. On the remainder, therefore, or the worst you could do, barring overnight gaps, would be break even the rest. And so you're free rolling, so to speak. Charlie Kirk gave it that name after looking at my money management. And once again, this thing just died out, but it really didn't do anything wrong. It just traded sideways and consolidated. Sometimes stocks get a little ahead of themselves and they need a little time off. And as long as you're not stopped out, there's nothing to do. And fortunately, it takes off once again, so it's no longer dead money. And at the peak, it was worth $1,974 plus the $1,000 you banked, so that's $2,974. And then it's kind of pulled back once again and meandering. It's trying to get back to where it was. And you have $1,778 open plus the $1,000 you banked, so $2,778 on a hypothetical 100K, right? That's $2,800 round numbers, 2.8%. That's not bad, especially given the time frame. Like my wife always says, what's that thing you do? And I'm like, annualizing? She's like, yeah. So if you annualize that out, that type of move, if you could keep doing that, rinse and repeat, you would own the world fairly quickly. Now, we don't always do that, obviously, but we've done that quite a bit in more recent times. And I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully by continuing to be prudent and continuing to follow the system and follow the plan, this will continue to work out nicely. So lately, I've been talking a little bit about discretion. And discretion is not throwing caution to the wind. Discretion is not pulling your protective stop and hoping, okay? It's possibly giving a position a little bit of wiggle room. Now, this was a good-looking setup. Bigger picture cup and handle, was an IPO. For the most part, trades fairly cleanly. And the entry was here. And this is what happened following this mechanically. So following mechanically, this stopped out for close to a 2K loss, almost a full loss on the entire position. So the entry was up here. The stop was down here. And in this particular case, I gave it a little wiggle room. Now, let me show you why, and let's zoom that in. So that's the original stop, the mechanical stop. Now, if you were to pull up the server spreadsheet in one of the archives, you'll see that I'm tracking all these in real time. But the ones that I'm tracking in real time are the ones that I recommended, obviously. But I'm tracking those on a mechanical basis as opposed to what I may or may not have done with the position. So you could always look at the mechanical portfolio and see how I did. And then you could say, well, maybe we could improve upon that a little bit through a little bit of discretion. I'm not saying hold on if this thing just keeps going against you and pray that it comes back, or take a little tiny profit or any other bad behavior. I'm saying just use a little bit of common sense and maybe a little bit of wiggle room on something like a stop. In this particular case, you had this huge wide range bar down, and then it closed poorly. Now, when a stock gets whacked, it closes poorly. And Larry Connors did a lot of this research way back in the day. And I was fascinated with it. The problem is it's kind of hard to trade off of it, but it is kind of neat to know type of thing. And maybe in some cases need to know. But you know that there's likely going to be some follow through initially, but it doesn't mean it's going to follow through for the entire day or the next day or whatever. You might get a reversal. So the edge that he was looking at was some initial follow through. So poor close. And then also you had earnings and a wide range bar down. So the stock looks like that, right? And you know it's liable to go a little further before reversing. Now, how far? Nobody knows, but that's where you have to be willing to give it a little bit of wiggle room. And in this case, it wasn't cut and dry. Okay, so it was a fairly substantial amount of wiggle room required. If you had like a stock, let's say your stop was at 9 and it went to 8.99 on the open, okay, and then began to reverse, then by all means, stick with the position. That's an obvious form of discretion. It's like you have a brain in your head, go ahead and use it in a case like that. But in this case, it wasn't quite as cut and dry. I would never fault anyone for not getting out in a situation like this. And if you do it a trading, I would recommend you just get out on a more mechanical basis, especially when it goes further than maybe a penny or so below that IPT. Unless it's very cut and dry where it gaps below, it immediately shoots back up, then you put your stop in below that gap. Anyway, so you get a little bit of wiggle room. And so far, I'm still underwater in this, and I'm still with it. You could argue that this is no longer a trend, but we have a stop in place. And then if we get stopped out, we get stopped out on that. Here's KGC. This is the gold stock. This was first recommended on March 15th. There's your parameters. IPT, by the way, is initial profit target. Okay. Entry's here. Stop is here. Initial profit target is up here. And if you go back and watch older shows, I go into a lot more details as to why I picked this pattern. You might not see the pattern. And one thing, because this one has moved in our favor, obviously the chart has become compressed. So I would encourage you to go back in time. But this is reminiscent of a pattern I call double top knockout. And that's where you have a minor double top with at least three or four bars in between. The right top's a little higher than the left, ideally. And then you want some sort of knockout or a fairly sharp pullback type of move. It's also a Landry-like pullback because you pull back the moving average. So it took a few days. It triggered, and then it meandered a little bit back and forth, and then it took off a little. And then it turns into probably one of the biggest or fairly sizable dead money reports. So you have maybe 2 months here of no forward progress. And at that point, you're probably thinking that, and I would be probably thinking too. And this is, again, one of the selfish reasons why I put stuff out there and have this educational and, I don't know if you want to call it advisory. I don't know if I'd call it that, but this educational service, because it forces me to follow the plan myself from a selfish standpoint and preach the good word on planning your trade and following the plan. So anyway, let's see what happens. It chops around. Still dead money, right, for another couple of weeks. And then finally, it hits the IPT. Now, notice it got fairly close on this day here. So I would actually recommend you not split hairs. I don't remember specifically on this one, but I know there were some in the past, recent past, I should say, where I did get out at half. Because it was just a little shy of that IPT. And the thing you have to wrap your head around is everyone likes to think in exacts, but markets don't move in exacts, okay? And you have no control over what somebody will do or not. And early this morning, I took a trade in this account over here, and I fully intended to take a trade in this account over here. And when I took the trade in this account, I actually saw the tick of my trade show up over here, okay? So I actually had to pay higher price because I drove the price up a tick on my own. And so you don't know what's going on out there. Somebody might fat finger an order, somebody might have a fight with their spouse, significant other, or both, and come in and do something stupid, like over leverage or whatever. There could be a tweet out there that could cause the market to go up or down significantly. You have no control over all of these million variables. It'd be great if you could say, well, if earnings is this and this is this, then the stock will do this. But guess what? If you could do that, then everybody would do that. There would no longer be a market. So a lot of emotions go into a market. And by the way, no decision in the world, even what you could have for lunch today, as I often preach, can be made without emotion. So every time somebody's trading, there's some emotions behind it, obviously. But anyway, this one's no longer dead money. Again, when you hit that break even, in this case, we're break even, we go break even plus because we exceeded that initial profit target. And then we trail a stop higher and we gradually let it open up. I know I preach the same thing every week, but it's so important to see this over and over and over again until it gets drilled down into your head, until it gets drilled in my head sometimes, right? Sometimes I need to rehear these things again from a selfish standpoint. But letting that stop widen out, you're shifting to a longer-term trend follower, okay? And like I said last week, some ex-client said, hey, glad to see you still around. I won't be needing your services because I'm more an investor than a trader. And I was like, okay, well, keep in mind that we're investing with the trend, as Greg Morris calls it, or I think it's even better, dancing with the trend, but investing with the trend, I guess, makes more sense to the average layman. And we've been in this position since when? May, okay? So June, July, August, and hopefully next August, we'll be talking about this particular stock and we'll still be in it. So I'm not an in and out like the rat going for cocaine. Although I probably do a little bit too much intraday stuff, but I'll throttle back on that. But that's a story for another day. But anyway, so this one had 27.55 open plus 1,000 banked. So that's 37.55. That's 3.8% or 3.75% round numbers or whatever, 3.8% round numbers on the overall count. So that's better than a poke in the eye. And then, you know, once again, that annualized thing, right? So multiply that times 4. So you're looking at a significant move, 12% or whatever, annualized, I guess. Not as impressive as I thought it would be. Maybe that math needs to be checked. But anyway, KTOS, now this one doesn't look that impressive as far as a trend and all. But like I said earlier, if you go back in and look at the presentations I did back in June, okay, when this was first recommended as a mystery chart, you'll see that that uptrend was a lot more impressive than it looks here. Anyway, big blue arrows pointing up, lots of Landry light, pulls back to the moving average. That's a Landry light pullback. If you only traded one pattern, as I preach ad nauseum, as Linda Rasky says, all you need is one pattern to be successful. And, you know, I was like, great, when Linda said that 30 years ago, I'm like, okay, Linda, what's the one pattern? Well, for me, the one pattern I now know would be Landry light pullbacks. And you'll look at the open portfolio. I think almost every position in there was a Landry light pullback or Dornier close. Anyway, pullback to the moving average, entries there, stop is there, initial profit target up here. And, you know, again, it kind of meandered a little bit before taking off. The IPT was hit and stop again comes to break even. And I hate to use the terminology market's money, but you're kind of playing with the market's money, or at least you're free roll. And again, barring overnight gaps, you have a chance to scratch out and put it, have a little money in your pocket, right? The great thing is, and this is how you beat the markets longer term, is you set yourself up for a potential bigger picture, longer term gain. So this one, not quite there yet. I don't know exactly where, let's see, I forget the entry and all, but it's close. It's getting fairly close to 100% gain. And you could see it was dead money for a second, and then it came back quite nicely. So if you could make this percentage move on something over that period of time, again, as a word, annualized, you could do really well. So 36.11 open on a 100K hypothetical account, and then you add in 1,000 that you're banked. So that's 46.11, which is not bad overall. Here's one. This one's not too stellar, but that's okay. It happens. Oh, my, might as well demonetize. Shit happens. Sometimes twice. So this one, pretty good looking stock. Pulls back the moving average, Landry light pullback. And this off, this should be over here. But you can see Landry light goes from 40 something down to zero. Because once it touches the moving average, the count starts over. And there it is in the open portfolio. You can see, not a huge loss, but a loss nonetheless. And here's all the other ones we'll be talking about. The ones in white have hit the initial profit target, okay? By the way, somebody was asking me, and this is one of the frequently asked questions. The trading service has a, I have a frequently asked questions page on the trading service, and I think that would help you out. I'll get the URL for you in post. If you did go to the trading service page, DaveLehner.com/core trading service, I think that's it. You can find the, even if you're not a member, you should be able to find the fact page. But the fact page will explain a lot vis-a-vis the methodology and the trading service. And it'll help quite a bit in some of these questions. But the one question I got was, what do you do when earnings are coming up? And the answer is nothing, okay? So here's the stock we put on in May. So that's June, July, August. And August is almost done, right? So there should have been at least one earning period during that time. The ultimate goal is to catch a longer-term trend. And to catch a longer-term trend, you're going to have to hold through the occasional earnings. I guess every 3 months you get an earnings report. Anyway, entries here, stop is here, initial profit target is up here. So let's see how it shakes out. You can see meanders around a little bit, and so far it's still in the water. You have $920 in open profits, negative $920 in open profits. So this one has become Dead money. All right, here's a Mr. Chart update. Here's TJ. Nice uptrend intact. Nice little uptrend. Also persistent. Notice that it tends to go up day after day after day. Lots of Landry light. There's the persistency right there, okay? That's one of the most powerful. That and acceleration and ability for a stock to trade cleanly or some of the best things you can look for in a stock. And in spite of people like, why do you beat the dead horse so much? Well, because if you go in and look at the stocks people ask me about, even though I beat the dead horse, a lot of them look like electrocardiograms, okay? So you can see it pulls back to the moving average. Landry light goes to zero. There's all the parameters, entry, the stop, and IPT. And in this particular case, on 100K account, you'd buy 800 shares. Entry's here, stop is down here, initial profit target is up here. And let's see what happens. So it goes up, tags the initial profit target. Once again, you're bringing stop to break even, okay? Then it becomes dead money. You have a little bit open. You have $324 open, which is better than a poke in the eye. Now, sell in May and go away, okay? We're coming to the close of summer, and I want to revisit this a little bit. And this is, again, this is like a methodology in action, trading in action type of thing. Tom McClellan gave a really good speech a few years back. Well, it's, I guess, more than a few years now in New Orleans when we had the American Association of Professional Technical Analysts conference. Back then, I was a board member, and we had our conference in New Orleans. And because I'm a native to Louisiana, I was picked to help them set things up or whatever. Anyway, it was a great experience. And he actually gave a really good speech about sell in May and go away, and talked about how things that rhyme tend to be believed, okay? If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit, for instance, okay? Well, if you take a look at the S&P 500 since May, it's going up 15.5%. And this is one of my best summers in memory. And one reason that this is very important for me to put out there is a few years back, we had a summer where we just chopped around and we didn't get annihilated, but net net, we just got chewed up the whole summer. We mostly sat on our hands. We lost a little bit of money. And on right around Labor Day, I get an email from a client and he's like, well, that was a crappy summer. Everyone knows you should sell in May and go away. Well, that's simply not true. Now, Tom McClellan made a little bit of a case that it's actually more of a sell in June type of thing. But even if you did the sell in June, you would have missed a significant run in the markets. And you have to realize that even the sell in June thing, statistically, you really don't have a representative sample, because let's say that's based on 100 years of fairly decent data for the stock market, right? Well, even if it's a certain percent correct, it could be wrong, meaning that the market could have a summer like we just had for years, maybe 5 years or so. And you could go 5 years, and if the summer was all you got that year, then you would be a hurting pup. I saw a meme a while back, about a week ago or so, and I put it in the Facebook group. I thought it was kind of funny. And this is what it looks like when you're back testing, and this is what live trading looks like, and I just thought that was funny. So this big energy guy, Energy CRYP, don't know who this is, but he tends to put a lot of memes out there that are funny, so I probably need to start following him. But anyway, although this is tongue-in-cheek, obviously there's something that's a little funny about this, or reality I should say, in addition to it being funny, is that when you're back testing, there is this urge to do curve fitting, okay? So if you do a lot of curve fitting and you have unbelievable results, then the more unbelievable the results, the more you have curve fit to the past data, and the less the future data will adhere to that. Okay. So this is why this occurs. Years ago, I did a lot of mechanical testing, and then actually did some consulting with mechanical testing, and I could make any system work for the most part. And the problem with that is you end up with live trading that looks like this one on the right, again, because you curve fit. Now, where I'm going with all this, if you go to the TFM, if you look at the TFM 10% system, it's a very simple system. So the simpler the system, the better. And it only has a very few rules. To sell, you just have to be 10% or more away from the 50-week closing high and below the 50-week simple moving average. That's it. Okay. To buy, you need 2 bars of Landry light above the 50 simple, and you have to be within 10% of the 50-week closing high. These zones in here, this zone here, the pink, the high pink is 10%. And these zones were inspired by Jeff. I don't know if he's here today or not, but he's usually here on Thursdays. And Jeff becomes cautious when you're 5% or more away from the 50-week closing high. Anyway, so that was a sell here. Now, this is one of those, like the skinny little dude or the right things that didn't happen in the back testing, is that because it was done on a calendar basis, I was forced to wait till Friday to sell on this. And this was, I think I had a Q position on. Yeah, I had the QQQ. So it's one thing I didn't factor in is the potential huge move that could happen intra-week. But that was the last sell, which turned out to be a little bit of a whipsaw, but that it happens. And then the buy was right there. Now, this system has been very robust and forward, in what they call the walk forward, okay? And the reason it's been robust is because it's so simple, and it's just very, very basic trend following, okay? And the designer's intent was, if a market drops 10% or more from that 50-week closing high, then it could be in trouble, because if it's going to drop 50%, okay, it's going to drop 10% first. So in an index, it might be much bigger number in some other stock or commodity or crypto. But in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, 10% is a good round number to get out of the way. But anyway, bought back in there. And like I said a second ago, the green zone means you're within 5%. Like I said last week, that's kind of your don't worry, be happy zone. As long as you're within 50%. As long as within 5% of 50-week closing high, then don't worry, be happy. And it's tough. I mean, because like if you take a look, if you go back a few weeks, it was like, geez, we got creamed fairly hard. But when you look at it bigger picture, it's like, well, wait a minute, you're only 2 or 3% off the all-time highs. So it feels a little bit worse than it really is. And like I said last week and weeks prior, by taking that 30,000 foot view, you're able to say, okay, market's still pretty good. Maybe I just need to continue to follow the plan, good, bad, and the difference. So within 5% green zone of the 50-week closing high is good. All right, I just want to show you just one slide real quick. I'm not going to go into a lot of details on this, but speculation is alive and well in the Landry 100. And this is actually a slide from last week. I was going to show you one that's up 200% this week, but I'll have it in as a technical difficulties, but I'll show you next week. But the bottom line is all of these stocks are bought at brand new closing highs. This one came out, this is NAGG, New Egg, that came out last week. And I think it was, some of that was given up, but it was still a substantial gain. But anyway, all of these, again, bought at new highs. And we can take a look at the live chart here in 1 second. And I'll show you where we are there. Now, there was one a couple days ago that I put on that got whacked like 20, 30% overnight. If you were just buying one stock or a couple stocks here and there at all-time closing highs or 50-week closing highs, 52-week closing highs, I think is where I have it set now. Yeah. then you would likely get whacked and it wouldn't work. But if you bought a big enough database, a big enough representative sample, so to speak, then it should work out fine. All right, let's shift gears. Any questions on all that? Let's go ahead and shift gears and get to the crypto. And then after crypto, so here's Ethereum. We're talking about that. Ethereum finally kicked it into gear. Let's take a look at Bitcoin real quick. You can see Bitcoin has been underperforming, and we have a little Landry light here, and it looks pretty toppy. It's got a lot of support below. I would not short it nor buy it at this juncture. I would just leave it alone and see what happens. But it does have a lot of support. You do have downside Landry light. And then again, Ethereum Bitcoin finally kicked it into gear. Bitcoin is definitely underperforming. If you had to pick one that you wanted to be in crypto, then Ethereum would be the one to be in at the minute. Okay. So that's doing okay. Now, I haven't seen a whole lot of action in crypto lately. I've got a few leftover positions. But as I preach, sometimes when things are going really well, within reason, you can come in and just buy the ones that are making new highs. But Dave, I thought you can't buy the ones that make new highs. Okay. If you're in a rip-roaring bull market like 1999, then you could just buy stocks that are making new highs, okay? Crypto goes through a bull bear cycle. My Kunash just slipped out. I was long this one not too long ago. I wonder if I got knocked out. I must have got knocked out of that one. Wow, look at that. That's pretty amazing. See, I wasn't paying attention. I have to keep from crying. But anyway, anybody want to look at any pairs you guys want to look at? But sometimes when the market is doing really well, you just come in and buy the ones that are banging out new highs. And as I often preach, Bitcoin is usually your bellwether there. When Bitcoin is making new highs, then you could spend a little bit more time buying these ones that are making new highs too. And if Bitcoin is lagging like it is now, and I don't have a parameter for you, but maybe like the 30 EMA might be a good thing to look at there. And I'm really not seeing any pairs I want to go after today. And that's the problem. And this is one of those many little things, and I'm going to kind of admitting a little guilt here, is that when crypto kind of dies out a little, I stop doing my homework as often as I should. And then like that crypto.com, that CRO, looks like I missed that one for some reason. I need to go in and do the forensics on that. But you always need to do your homework, as I preach. All right, any crypto pairs you want to look at? I'd be happy to do that. All right, let's shift gears and hop into stocks. And we'll just go quickly through the market. If there's any stocks you want to look at, feel free to let me know. Be happy to take a look at them for you. I know since we started the Facebook group, that kind of dried up a bit, but there might be somebody here that's not in the Facebook group. Anyway, this is the one I wanted to show you in Ledger 100. So that was put in April at an all-time high. Okay, right like there. It's kind of stealthy. It's a brand new closing high. And then so far, knock on wood, it's been a 300% run. And you can look down this list. Now, they're not all positive, but an overwhelming number is. And the ones that are, there's enough that are up big to make it all worthwhile. All right, let's take a look at the overall market and then drill down a little bit. All right, S&P 500, looking pretty good, okay? If we close where we are now, we're at all-time high. So far, so good. Nice uptrend remains intact. NASDAQ Composite, just shy of all-time highs. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of Landry lights. So that's certainly a good thing there. Let's take a look at the Rusty. The Rusty has finally kicked it into gear. Look at that. It's almost melting up. And it's pushed through this overhead supply finally like butter. And it has a little bit more resistance to overcome. And then it'll be at all-time highs too. So that's certainly and definitely improving. Gold, the commodity, just off of brand new highs. That's looking pretty good. Gold stocks have been kind of stuck in a range, but now, gold just the opposite. Gold stocks have been kind of going straight up as of late, just off of all-time highs. Gold, the commodity, pushing toward the top of its trading range, especially today, looking pretty darn good. The banks have been doing well today, notwithstanding. The regionals have been doing exceptionally well, again, today, notwithstanding. Financials overall have been doing fairly well. Finally, they kind of chopped around here. They looked a little choppy, but then they broke out. So that's good, just off of all-time highs. Semiconductors have been consolidating, and they're looking slightly toppy. But if you back the chart out a little bit, they're right off of all-time highs. So I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. They're one good afternoon away from all-time highs. And as a trend guy, I'm not going to argue with that. Again, maybe some of that zone thinking, like as long as you're within 5%, and with the semiconductors, a little bit more volatile, maybe a little bit bigger than 5%. But for the most part, as long as you're near those all-time highs or 52-week highs, don't worry, be happy. I know, haha. Metals and mining have been doing really well, just off of all-time highs. So that's a nice little run there. So that's pretty impressive. Pot stocks, wow, look at these guys. Bam, winning. We had TLRY on the Landry list a while back. And the Landry list is the list of stocks that actually is my personal call list that I share in the service. And from that list, when applicable, I'll pick some stocks. So the TGen, the KGC, unfortunately the VG, TFPM, and the ABCL, those all were on the trading service, and those all came from the Landry list. But anyway, I got a really nice email from somebody on this one when this stock was a little cheapy. It wasn't an official recommendation, but they was back here. I had a Landry list, and I talked about it, and because the pot stocks were waking up. So I got a really nice email on that. Maybe I'll share that in 2 weeks. No show, by the way, next week. It's usually hard to put together a show on a holiday week, so I'm going to go ahead and take next week off, catch up on some other things. Lithium within the metals has been doing really well. Metals and mining overall have been doing well, just off of all-time highs. I don't know if I mentioned those just yet. I like to see them begging out new highs and keep on keeping on. But for the most part, looking pretty darn good. I think that's pretty much it for the market. A couple more areas. Biotech has been doing well. Nice uptrend here. Little overhead supply to deal with, but on an individual issue basis, as I've been saying ad nauseum in the market in a minute, still looking pretty good. Okay, let's take a look at defense, and then we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Defense is looking pretty good, just off all-time highs. A little bit of high-level consolidation, came down, touched that moving average. That's not a Landry-like pullback, but that's kind of a base pullback to the moving average, a little consolidation. As Ralph Acampora says, it's bigger the base, bigger the launch into space. I thought I invented that, but no, it's Ralph. I met him once. He's a trip. We shared a cab or a car or whatever back to the airport about a year or two ago. He's a blast. We were both at ChartCon, Stock Charts, ChartCon. I hope they do another one of those. They do them every few years. Anyway, I think that's about it. Silver, another one of those areas. It's looking pretty good within the metals. All right, any individual stock picks you guys want me to take a look at, I'd be happy to do that now. I'll give YouTube a second to catch up. Well, while we're at an impasse, I want to thank everybody for attending today. I appreciate you taking time out of my busy schedule. Anything unanswered, daviddavelandry.com. Everybody have a great Labor Day weekend. I'll see most of you guys and girls in Facebook later today. So you guys have we don't talk between now and then, though. You have a great Labor Day, too. And of course, may the trend be with you. Thank you so much.